Happy Father's Day, dads. We hope that you've had a great day today and that it continues. This morning, we're going to be looking at the story of King Hezekiah, who was both a son and a father. His story has three parts to it. It has a before, it has a middle, and it has an after. But it's not really like other stories. A lot of other stories, the best part is saved till last. And so the climax of the story happens at the end. But it's not like other stories. In this story, the end isn't the best part. In fact, neither is the beginning. It's the middle of the story which has the meat. In the story of Hezekiah, it is a story of three kings, of three different generations. The first king, the grandfather, the second king, the father, and the third king is the son. Not long after King Solomon, the king of Israel, passed on after he died, the kingdom ended up split into two parts. Southern kingdom of Judah included Jerusalem and the temple. The northern kingdom went on to be a country all by itself, and it kept the name Israel. That's why when you read through 1 and 2 Kings or 1 and 2 Chronicles or parts of Samuel, it's hard to keep track of all the kings in those books because some of them were living at the same time and in different kingdoms, and so it gets a little bit confusing. Well, these kings that we're talking about today, they're all from the kingdom of Judah. King Ahaz, King Hezekiah, and King Manasseh. The first king was King Ahaz. Ahaz was not the hero, but he was the father of the hero. He was Hezekiah's dad. We know that Ahaz became king when he was about 20 years old, and he ruled for 16 years. The book of 2 Kings 16, verses 2 through 4, tells us what his reign was like. It says, "Unlike David his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel, and even sacrificed his son in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense in the high places and on the hilltops and even under every spreading tree." So to make it plain, Ahaz didn't follow God, and he was an evil king. He ignored God's teaching, and he did some pretty horrible things, including shutting down the temple, and he had the doors to the temple nailed shut so that nobody could use it. And then he took, just to make sure, he took the utensils that were used for worship, like the bowls and all those kinds of things, and he had them all cut into pieces so that nobody could take them somewhere else and use them for worship as well. He set up pagan altars on every street corner in Jerusalem. And he was a monster of a father. He sacrificed one of his sons in the fire in the worship of the god Molech, which was forbidden by God. Ahaz was a bad king. The third king in our trio, King Manasseh, was the son of our hero. Manasseh was an evil king. 2 Kings tells us that Manasseh became a king when he was 12 years old. 2 Kings 21, 2 through 6 says, "He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations that the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had destroyed. He also erected altars to Baal and made an Asherah pole, as King Ahab of Israel had done. He bowed down to the starry hosts and worshiped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, 'In Jerusalem I will put my name.' In the two courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his own son in the fire, practiced divination, sought omens and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger." Well, like his grandfather Ahaz, he offered his own son as an offering, a sacrifice to a demon god. And he set up all the high places that his father had taken down. He was far more interested in trade and money than real worship. Every new trade partner that came along, they had their own god. And so he just added them to the bunch, and he worshipped them all, and he polluted the land. Ahaz, the first king, did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Manasseh, the third king, did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and both worshipped other gods to the point where they sacrificed their own children to these demon gods. They were bad kings, and they were evil men. But the middle king, Hezekiah, was different. He lived differently for God. 2 Chronicles 29 tells us about Hezekiah. This is what it says. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. A little later in 2 Chronicles 31, it says, "This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. In everything that he undertook, in the service of God's temple, and in obedience to the law and commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered." So what Hezekiah did was serve God. He inherited a real mess of a kingdom. He understood that Yahweh, the God of Israel, was really the only true God. He was the holy God. And because this God was holy, worship couldn't happen in all of these areas where there had been sort of a pollution of religion that had been brought by his father. And so part of the preparation for returning to the worship of God was cleaning house. They had to get rid of all the false gods and remove all of the unholy places of worship. And they had it all torn down, and all the parts of that were taken outside the city, and they were destroyed. Well, then, after they'd gotten rid of all the trash, they had to rededicate the temple. And so they went through purification rites, and they went through sacrifices, and they did repairing, and they did remaking of the tools that they needed to perform worship. The temple was purified, and then it was dedicated to God for his service. And then finally, when all of that was ready, the people came, and they gathered, and they purified themselves and did what they needed to do. And at the very end, they dedicated themselves to the worship of God and to follow God throughout their whole lives. This is entirely different from what happened under his father's reign. It's totally different from what happened when his son became king. So we might ask the question, what is different about this king? Why did he rebel against his father and turn out normal? Why didn't he turn out like his own son did? He had the family for it. I mean, he could have gone in that direction entirely. And by all rights, he should have turned out evil and idolatrous like the two of them. But he didn't. There was something very different about his character and about the way he lived his life. 2 Kings 18, verses 5 and 6, tell us about that and how that worked. It says, "Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord, and he did not stop following him. He kept the commands that the Lord had given to Moses." I'd like you to notice a few things about Hezekiah. First of all, it says he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. Well, Ahaz before him and Manasseh after him, they didn't trust in God. Even the statement that he trusted in the Lord God of Israel sets him apart from the other two because they didn't trust God as God. They treated demons as gods, and they served them. They left Israel's God, and they traded the worship of the Creator for the worship of the created. Manasseh even set up worship sites at the temple in the courtyard, and he did that so people could worship the stars in the temple of God. But Hezekiah, he didn't bother with all those little gods, those tin gods, the fake ones. Hezekiah worshiped the real God, the Lord God of Israel. It says he trusted God. Why? Because he knew this God. He knew this was the God who had brought them up out of Egypt. He knew this was the God who had brought them to the promised land. This was the God who had revealed himself in the temple over and over. He trusted that God based on the experiences of his people throughout history, but also through his own experience. He'd had experience of God too. Second thing I'd like you to notice here in 2 Kings 18:6 is that he held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. Well, imagine what it might have been like to grow up in that terrible household with Ahaz as your father. I mean, Ahaz even sacrificed his own son, Hezekiah's brother. And it would have been traditional to offer the firstborn. And think about that. Here, Hezekiah was the oldest, and he had to think, well, that could have been me. Or even, why wasn't it me? There might have been some guilt going on. But throughout all of that, through those terrible things, he held fast to the Lord, it says, the real God. And he did not stop following him. He lived in a totally paganized world. His beliefs would be mocked. His religion has been desecrated. In fact, most of it's just been plain torn down. Temple doors were nailed shut. But it says here that he held fast to the Lord, even in those conditions. And that took courage, I'm sure. I'm sure his father pressured him to turn away from God and to serve these idols and these other gods. There were so many choices, after all. But he didn't stop following the God of Israel. He had the courage of his convictions. Well, it's easy for us to look and see a comparison to the world we live in today, isn't it? I mean, we're surrounded by all kinds of little gods, and some of them are people. Some of them are systems. Some of them are religions. Some of them are political. And they all seem to cry out for worship. They seem to cry out that we should let go of the past, to join up with what's popular, to follow our friends away from Jesus. But you know, in the middle of all this noise, my prayer for you is that you will have the courage to hold fast to God, like Hezekiah did, to not stop following Jesus, no matter what's going on around you, no matter how much noise there is, no matter how much violence, no matter how much illness, no matter what's going on, to hang on, hold fast to God. And to hold fast here means to grab on and not let go for any reason. Well, the next thing I'd like you to notice is that unlike his father and unlike his son, Hezekiah, it says he kept the commands the Lord had given to Moses. Well, what was that? This is the Bible as they knew it in their day. This was the law of God. It would have included the Ten Commandments for sure, but also a lot of those stories about how a holy God loved an unholy people and offered his life for them and offered them life and sacrifice. The difference that kept Hezekiah from drifting away into idolatry and eventually into some pretty horrific stuff like his father and his son, I think, was how he chose to live. He chose to trust God. He chose to hold fast to God. He chose to hold on with everything that he had, no matter what was going on around him. He chose to keep following God, no matter what. No matter what was happening to him or to anyone else around him. He just kept believing God's word. And that word, he knew, was delivered through Moses. And he took that word and kept following it and doing what was right in God's eyes. Well, it begs the question, what have you decided to do with your life? Have you decided to trust God, to hold on to him no matter what, no matter what the cost, no matter what happens, to keep following God, even if everybody else in your family decides not to, even if everybody in your circle of friends falls away? Have you decided to follow his word? His words as you understand them in the Bible. That's faithfulness. And God will prosper you. When you think of that word prosper, especially here in America, mostly in terms of wealth, but it might not be something like wealth. It might not be in fame or popularity or in some other way that we traditionally think of God prospering us. But maybe you're going to be the one who sets the pace for an entire generation. Maybe you're going to be the one who starts with the people that you know, and that fire spreads to many other people. And maybe it's going to be you that causes the next great revival here in this country. That's what happens when we're faithful. God uses us, and we just don't know what that next step is going to be because it hasn't been written yet. When Hezekiah, the king of Judah, was very close to death, it says, God sent Isaiah the prophet to tell him, put your house in order. Get ready to die. Get your estate in order. Maybe write your will. Get ready to pass things on to the next generation. Well, it's an interesting thing that God, through Isaiah, tells him to get his house in order because, as far as we know, Hezekiah had very little that he needed to get in order in the traditional sense. He was already following God very closely. 2 Kings 20 says, in those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you are going to die and you will not recover. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I've walked with you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the Lord came to him. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I've heard your prayers and I've seen your tears and I will heal you. And on the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. Well, and we know from the story that God gave him a sign that the shadow of the sundial, it moved back 10 places or 10 steps. And he believed, and he went to the temple, and he was healed. And we know that Hezekiah faithfully lived out his life, doing what was good in God's eyes. There are a lot of stories about Hezekiah here that we could share today, but we're going to stop there. God calls us to a faithful life. And this is what a faithful life in times of turmoil looks like. His life would have been in total turmoil. Trusting God, holding fast to Him, following Him no matter what's going on, and following His commands. We don't live to please men. We live to please God, and this is how we do it, by being faithful. There are a couple of more things I want to share with you quickly from this story. The first is that we don't have to follow in our Father's footsteps. We get to choose the path that we go on. We don't have to be like our parents. It's not our fate that we have to turn out like them. Hezekiah rebelled against his bad father, and he turned out very well. The second thing that's important to notice here is that as parents, you can do everything right, everything in your power to teach and to guide your children in God's way, and they can still choose to follow a path that breaks your heart. That's what happened here to Hezekiah. You don't have to carry the guilt of that to your grave. We own the part that's ours, and we confess that to God. But your child, just like you, can choose sin. They can do it just fine on their own without our help. Or not. That's called free will. So let's put our house in order by serving God in a way that pleases Him. And let's put our children before God and pray that He will direct them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are your servants. We want to be faithful as your servant Hezekiah was, to do what's right in your eyes. As parents or as children, let us be men and women of strong faith, people of courage and obedience to you and your word. Let us trust you, hold fast to you, follow you no matter what, and let us live our lives according to your word and in the way of Jesus. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Be blessed and go with God.